Thank you for joining this afternoon's program of At the Root of It on the Heritage Radio Network. It is the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, so that would make it the 23rd. We're here at Roberta's Restaurant in Brooklyn, and you can listen to today's show live beginning at 4 o'clock and every Tuesday on heritageradionetwork.com. And a thank you to our sponsor, Cabot Cheese, for holiday recipes. Let the great taste of Cabot Cheese make them even more special. Award-winning Cabot Cheese, 100% of our profits go to New England and New York farm families. On the web at Cabot, C-A-B-O-T, cheese.com. And I'll begin today's program with the Week in Wine recap. And in latest news submitted by RFI, it looks as France will keep its position as world's leading wine producer, even though its overall production is down from last year. The International Organization of Vine and Wine, an intergovernmental organization with 44 member states, estimates since 2010 output at 44.7 million hectoliters, a decrease of 2% from last year. That figure puts France just ahead of Italy, which saw an 11% drop in production this year. Italy was the biggest global producer in 2007 and 2008. Among the three largest European producers, only Spain has remained stable with 35.1 million hectoliters of wine production. Meanwhile, compared to 2009, world viniculture production in 2010 has fallen by 4% to approximately 260 million hectoliters. And the Wine Spectator released a roundup of 2010, which was a very difficult year on the West Coast in terms of their crop. Today we hone in on Oregon, which was greatly affected by hungry birds who reduced a crop that was already small due to cooler summer weather. Birds were a problem, sized Lynn Penner Ash of Penner Ash Wine Cellars, and no matter how hard we applied all the tactics available to growers, many of our 2-ton per acre sites became 1-ton per acre sites, she continued. Lower yields and the extra long hang time did produce better flavors, which developed for some wineries at a much quicker pace than the years. So fermented wines, from well-farmed vineyards are showing no green or underripe fruit characteristics despite low alcohol levels. Despite these attractive quality to the fruit flavors, yields were down as much as 30% from the 2009 vintage for some vintners, and the rain, cooler temperatures, and bird situation made for even a more difficult year. And in San Francisco, the MoMA San Francisco has opened a 9-gallery show this past weekend highlighting how winemaking has changed since 1976. That was the date of the Judgment of Paris. The exhibit is a comprehensive look at the wine industry and is called How Wine Became Modern. Soil samples from all over the world are on display, leading into a section about terroir. There is a glassware gallery, an architectural model of the 40,000 case Clos Pegase winery in Calistoga on display, and a section devoted to labels and storytelling. For those of you who've seen it, call in and share your comments about it. And for those listening today, please call in with any questions or comments for my guest after this short break, which is Ali Shaper of Brooklyn Enology. Our number here is 718-497-2128. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Yo, Fuba, you going to be ready? We got a live feed in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
All right, man. I'll see you then. 2000.
Ladies and gentlemen, our founder, I want you to meet the baddest.
Who is it? Well, it's Grand Poobah, honey. With my man, Stud Doogie Love. Dropping 2000. Dig the way this go down. Check it. I hit a flow all tipped in low. Sit back and sip mo as I count my dough. Grand Poobah Maxwell.
The New England and New York farm families who own Cabot Cooperative are offering listeners a chance to win some of the world's best cheddar simply by calling into our programs at 718-497-2128 or emailing us at info@heritageradionetwork.com. What a great way to start the holidays. We'll be picking a winner for the program 1 week from today. Cabot Creamery is a proud supporter of what Heritage Radio is all about.
Then you move out of ghetto face. Step three, then you look the dead in the face. Step four, now it's time to lead this place. Hold up, be careful of the teasers, the one who wants the money in the visas.
You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com, and I'm your host, Aaron Fitzpatrick, on At the Root of It. That was our producer, Jack Inslee, telling you all about the Cabot giveaway. So thank you to Jack, and shout out to Nat Wiener, Rec Tech, our engineer today. And a big welcome to my guest, Ali Shaper from Brooklyn Enology.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. So glad you could come in amidst such kind of exciting momentum for you in Brooklyn with the new addition of your tasting room.
Yeah. Yeah. Super exciting. It's been a dream in the making for quite a while for me, and it's a huge step for the company as well. Yeah, I mean, just opened up in Williamsburg, and we've seen some great foot traffic already and some really strong interest in the wines as well.
Cool. Well, I want to tell everyone first about your original company, and then we'll move in to talk about the tasting room, which just is open. So tell us about Brooklyn Enology, and let's define for our listeners, what is enology?
Yes, it's a very fabulous vocabulary word. A very common question, too, when we're at green markets and stuff. It's the science and art of winemaking, and it really represents what the company is all about. It's the blending of art and wine, and you know, and doing something really interesting with wine, but not only that, but making it a part of Brooklyn as well.
So how did you get started? I know you have your own, you have a portfolio of different wines, which you've curated.
Not just curated, but have produced myself. And,
okay.
This season was my fifth winemaking season.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So big 5-year anniversary for me. Yeah.
So you're in the wineries. You're making the wine too.
Sure am. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yep. Stomping around, getting dirty with yeast and grape muck and all of that. It's a lot of fun.
And where are your, so which wineries are you working with?
And well, first, Brooklyn Enology is a winery in and of itself, and which I founded back in 2006, at the end of 2006. And so the company was established in Brooklyn. So up to this date, you know, we've been doing all, basically operating the company through Brooklyn, based first in Greenpoint.
Okay.
And then at the end of 07, started actually selling our wines. So then producing at a custom crush winery out on Long Island called Premium Wine Group. And so this is a common model out west.
Sure,
where you have sort of this one umbrella facility and a number of producers all sharing the same equipment and the same bottling line and so on and so forth.
Well, I guess because there are more vineyards out there, there are more people that can,
You
know, readily take advantage of that, right?
Yeah.
So just because our in New York State is less endowed with as many vineyards.
Not the same sheer number of vineyards. We're getting there, though. There's almost 300 in the state now, which is kind of fantastic. But yeah, this was this still is the only facility of its kind in all of New York, and it's not too far from
really
the city.
That's
either
the only one? Oh wow,
The only other same size facility like this is down in Virginia, so that's, it's a great little sort of incubator spot, if you will.
Absolutely. So in 2006 you decided to create your brand, I'd say, your winery, and establish relationships, just like they may, and our listeners may know the model of the négociant in France, where you establish relationships with the growers, and every year you're going to select the grapes that you're going to crush at your custom facility.
So I contract with growers. First, I started contracting just with growers on the North Fork, but have since expanded to the Finger Lakes as well. So we contract for grapes on the vine.
Okay.
And work together with the growers for harvesting dates and management of the vineyards and so on. And that fruit is then delivered to the winery, where we do all the crushing and the stomping and fermentation. It's a soup to nuts operation there. So I have a network of about 9 different growers that I'm working with on Long Island, and this year now up from 3 to now 4 growers in the Finger Lakes.
Wonderful.
And so and those grapes are shipped down to the facility on Long Island to work on those wines there.
And are you primarily working with Riesling from the growers up in the Finger Lakes?
Riesling is one of the big ones, but I'm also using Cabernet Franc from the Finger Lakes, with which I've made rosé, and also getting a grape called Vidal Blanc, which is a French-American hybrid. It's not big on the radar of the general wine-drinking public, but it's a grape that is it's sort of an older hybrid variety that was created by a French grape geneticist, and it's a derivative of Trebbiano.
So, we see it up in Niagara in Canada as well, some of those ice wines.
Yeah, used for ice wines. It's a versatile grape. A lot, you can use it a lot like a Riesling.
Yep.
So I make a primarily Vidal blend with that is blended with a little bit of Riesling. And then this year got a little bit of Pinot Gris from the Finger Lakes too.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So it sounds like Long Island and the Finger Lakes had an excellent harvest season for 2010. Did you find that as well?
Oh, nobody has stopped talking about it. Yeah.
Okay. So in reality, it was.
Yeah, it was a pretty fantastic, especially after 2009, which was just so... Oh, gloomy. I mean, we got great white wines from 2009, and some people were lucky and got decent reds out of 09, but it was a very tough year. You know, we see that on the East Coast. We have real variability in our vintages. Mm-hmm. So it was like night and day between last year and this year. This year was like, we couldn't believe how good it was. Everything was blooming early. Everything was harvesting early. Everything started 2 weeks early. Everyone was caught unawares 2 weeks early. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's great then. And today, which we will go into in the second part of the show, you actually did bring us two wines.
Yeah.
And which vintages are these?
We have the 2006 Social Club Red, which is a North Fork of Long Island red wine blend, a la a Bordeaux-style table wine. Mm-hmm. And then we have a 2009 Friend Riesling, which is a Finger Lakes Riesling, a blend of grapes from three different vineyards.
Cool.
Yeah.
I look forward to tasting
those. Very tasty.
Now, when you have established this relationship with these growers, I mean, given that you are relatively, you know, still a young company in terms of just a history with working with growers, are you year after year trying to work with the same people, or are you going through a process every year about tasting the grapes that are being harvested?
Yeah, I mean, I have certain growers that I particularly like and that I will continue relationships with. The advantage to doing what I'm doing, you know, while I don't own my own land, I have a distinct advantage, which means I'm not stuck to any one particular plot of land at any given time. So if I decide that one year, you know, that really didn't work out as well as I'd hoped, I can move on. And additionally, it enables me to experiment and expand. And, you know, that's part of what I'm aiming to do with some of my wines, you know, play and try out different things. And, you know, I can decide I want to make 13 different things, or maybe I want to make three different things.
How many wines do you have in your book right now that are all Brooklyn Enology?
There are nine.
Nine wines. Yeah. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. So nine labels. Mm-hmm. And what's so cool, which I, you know, we often hear that winemaking is an art. And as you mentioned before, that was kind of your original vision to kind of combine those two in a more, I'd say, it's literal and it's, you know, figurative. It comes to life here on the labels here. So talk about that.
Sure, yeah. Well, you know, not only winemaking itself is an art, and particularly in the blending, which is part of my favorite thing to do, and which enables you to really get the best of each variety, and especially, you know, working with certain varieties from certain regions of New York really allows me to express that part of New York. But additionally, you know, not just, I didn't want to just be a company that was just in Brooklyn, but I wanted to be a part of Brooklyn. And so what I decided I wanted to do when I started the company was to feature Brooklyn artists on the labels. So each different wine has a different artist featured on that label. And they're all different types of media and styles, and
so cool.
It's really fun, and it makes such a brilliant display, and to me that's really a showcase of what's so awesome about Brooklyn itself,
right?
That you have this creativity everywhere,
right?
You know, not just in fine arts, but in the culinary arts, in film, music, furniture, you name it, somebody's doing it here. And so this to me was really a way to weave in, you know, my place with my purpose.
Yep.
And to share that with people too. I mean, you should be able to have this beautiful bottle on your table and enjoy. And so additionally, the labels I designed to peel off as stickers so that you can hang on to them, you know, make a little art gallery on your refrigerator, stick them all up there. And
now, can you also buy them in larger prints if the artist would do that?
I'm aiming to do that. In the near future, and to be able to sell those through the tasting room.
Very cool.
You know, feel like it. And each label is limited edition too. When I switch the vintage or change the vintage of the wines, and I switch up the artists, look for new people, show different styles. And it's all contemporary contemporary works.
Yeah.
And they're all, they're non-commissioned either. These are existing pieces that artists have already done.
I see. Okay.
So it's very true, you know, because you say, oh, make me a label for a wine bottle. You're going to end up with pictures of grapes, and which is all very well and good. But what I really wanted to show is what people were actually doing in Brooklyn without any sort of interruption from my request.
Ah, okay. Yeah. And I imagine now that people know what you're up to, you're getting quite a few submissions.
Yeah, always getting inquiries, oh, how do I become a label artist? You know? Which, since we're talking about it, if you'd like to submit, send an email with some images or a link to your portfolio at art@brooklyninology.com.
Great. Well, that's a good tip. It's interesting too when you think about going as a consumer. I mean, even, you know, I don't know if this was part of your original, you know, vision when you started this company, but how much a label and its identity about where it's coming from or the bottle shape really does kind of play into our minds as we're buying.
Yeah. It really does. You know, I mean, the world is saturated with wine, so one has to think very carefully about how to distinguish themselves when getting into the wine market. And, you know, I consider myself something of a creative person as well. And so I paid a lot of attention to the details of the overall package.
Yeah. You know, and did you study art ever in your life? Seriously? Or?
By proxy. I had a previous career to wine that was a technical career, but I've always been involved in music and grew up around the arts, and of course grew up around near New York City, so that always, you know, the influence of Manhattan and Brooklyn and Queens and in my life daily. And so this really
many
plays
sensory
out in what
imagery.
I mean, just living in this area, you're exposed to art, and it's everywhere, so, you know, definitely played out in how I found what to do with my life here.
Cool. Well, I love it. And we're going to take a short break and come back to hear about the new tasting room that Ali has just opened in Williamsburg as well.
Yum, yum.
We fight every night. Now that's not kosher. I reminisce with bliss of when we was closer and wake up to be greeted by an argument again. You act like a 10, so immature. I try to concentrate on the cure and keep looking at the front door, thinking if I were to evacuate, you'd probably be straighter than straight and wouldn't have so much hate. Cause you don't know the pain I feel when I see you smiling, and when I roll up, you start wilding. So I front like everything's hunky-dory, but it's a whole different story. You don't like the fact that I'm me. I don't put on a show when it comes time for you to have company. And your friends don't understand your choice of man. They speak proper while my speech is from a garbage can. But regardless, you shouldn't have to be so raw. I'm looking at the front door. I'm looking at the front door. Baby, I'm looking at the front door. I'm looking at the front door. And when you're with your friends, I glide to the side until the spotlight is mine. And never sabotage a good time.
Got a little old school hip hop day today on the Heritage Radio Network. So that's our DJ Rec Tech. Thank you. And for those who are just tuning in, I'm with my guest today, Ali Shaper from Brooklyn Enology. And we had a little background on the history of the winery in the first section. And today we're going to move on in to talk about the new tasting room that's just opened up.
Right on. Cool.
Where is it located?
So it's in Williamsburg, right off the Bedford L stop on Wythe Avenue.
Okay.
W-Y-T-H-E, because it sounds like husband and wife, but that's not what it is yet. It's 209 Wythe Avenue.
I imagine many of our listeners are familiar with that area.
Yeah. So it's on the corner of North Third. Really cool little spot, too, because it's right around the corner from Mass Brothers Chocolate and Radagast Beer Hall and Zebulon. So we've got a nice little corner going on
there. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And the idea was to put into a tasting opportunity the wines that you have in your portfolio, and then to also tie in the art, correct?
Yeah. So, you know, this functions as the winery's tasting room. So same way you might go out to wine country and go sampling and do flights and have glasses. This is how this store operates. It's our tasting room. So you can come down and have flights of our wine, hang out, have a glass. And we're doing sort of atypical winery hours, you know, typical winery does 11 to 6, but we're doing more like a 2 o'clock to 10 o'clock.
Okay. Thing. Okay.
Weekends open till midnight, so you can come and hang out and just enjoy a glass of wine.
It's a fresh idea.
Yeah. And it's also our retail shop, too. So you can buy bottles at retail, take them home to go. And, you know, to kind of celebrate the Brooklyn food and the New York food scene, we've also got New York made provisions too, cheeses.
Oh, and great.
We're going to get charcuterie very soon. We've got North Fork potato chips. We've got DP chutney chutneys. We've got Brooklyn salsa.
Uh-huh.
Tumbador,
I like those guys.
Yeah, Tumbador chocolates from Sunset Park in Brooklyn. So we're going to have a whole array of provisions, and you can even hang out and snack on them if you want, you know, sort of quote unquote picnic on the plate, if you like. Yep. And additionally, since we have the Brooklyn artists on the labels, you know, we're all about not just having their art on the labels to make our bottles look pretty, but really support the artists, you know, work with them. And so we'll be having rotating gallery shows of the label artists on site as well.
Excellent.
Right now we've got our Rosé, our 2009 Rosé artist up on the walls, Chris Smith. Hope you're listening, Chris. He also goes by Subtexture, and he's does some great pieces, painting on found pieces of wood and road signs and things like that.
Urban.
Very urban sort of style.
Excellent.
And, you know.
So how was all the licensing for getting all those spaces lined up in this state?
Oh, I hope you have patience. Yeah, you got to have patience. Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a practice of Zen, that's for sure. Yeah, because every other day you want to go,
Right. Well, congratulations to you. That takes a lot of perseverance and vision, which you clearly have. So
thanks. Yeah.
Well, we're going to move into looking at some of these wines and tasting them, too. You had mentioned you brought the Riesling Friend, which is a... from the Finger Lakes grapes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'll grab that bottle.
And looking at this label, if we could talk about the artist, too.
Yeah, definitely. Well, this is, there's kind of a reason we call it Friend Riesling, too. This is a label done by Jen Ferguson, whose studio is in Dumbo, and she and I have known each other for a while. She did my 2006 Motley Crue label, and which is a fun wine.
Yeah.
Go off on a tangent for a second. It's a wine that I do is a different blend each vintage. So that's why I call it Motley Crue, a little play on
that's
words.
Fun.
You know, CRU, like Grand Cru, Premier Cru. And, you know, kind of named after Brooklyn because, you know, we're a whole bunch of people from all over the place doing our different things. And that's what's fantastic about being here. That's, I think, a big reason why a lot of us are here.
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress. So so I asked Jen, this is the one label that I did have commissioned. Jen's an animal lover as well as I am. And we call it Friend Riesling because it's a wine with a purpose. And we've got all kinds of fun little critters.
I like
horses.
The rabbit in the corner.
Yeah, we got the rabbits. We have goldfish. We have dog with a bone, very happy. Horse, snakes. And so all kinds of different pets that people can have. And so portion of the proceeds of this wine go to causes that support safety for pet food.
Oh, excellent.
It's a personal cause to me, and because I did lose a dear pal to tainted food and wanted to raise awareness about that and get the word out. So this is
good for you.
Yeah, this is a fun, fun little label here. And you can peel it.
Oh, I love that.
You can peel them all. But for the wine itself, it's... from Finger Lakes grapes, so this is from the 2009 vintage and one of the first vintages of Finger Lakes wines here.
That you did.
Yeah. Yep. So I chose to get Riesling from the Finger Lakes. You do find it on Long Island in the Hudson Valley and other parts of the state, but I chose Riesling from the Finger Lakes because it's where I feel Riesling really shows its best in New York. And it's become quite a well-known place for Riesling these days as well. And a little bit of a trend is to do a single vineyard Riesling, but I decided to do a blend of three vineyards to try to get make a really complex wine and show a lot of the different characteristics that you can get out of Finger Lakes.
Definitely. So, I mean, the fruit on this is beautiful. You have like a lot of pear on it, which you don't necessarily always get from Riesling.
And the three vineyards really show different things. You know, one of them, the three vineyards that I worked with are Anthony Road, which is up on the northwest side, Dalrymple Farms, which is on the east side of Seneca Lake, and then Doyle Vineyards, which is sort of on the southeast side of Seneca Lake. And so from one, I got more sort of like a tea, sort of jasmine-y flower quality. From another, it had more of a peachy petrol quality. And then a third, more of that sort of pineapple pear citrus.
Yeah.
And it really all comes out in there, you know, even a little honey flavor. And
great aperitif wine.
Yeah. And this is fantastic. You know, I think a lot of people say, oh, you have Riesling, you know, so they're a little bit sweet and you can have them with spicy food and whatnot. Very true. Also excellent with cheeses. And let me tell you, the Germans had it right. Eat this with bratwurst or barbecue or something. You know, to have a nice crisp Riesling with a fattier food is a wonderful, really wonderful pairing. Another reason I like working with Riesling is because it is such a versatile grape. You know, it makes some of the world's great ice
wines. It's one of my favorites, I have to say. It's so, it's just so diverse in its expression. It's really intriguing.
It is, And you can make this a bone dry wine. If you like something really austere and crisp, it's great. So this is just a little bit of an off-dry style and just a little bit of that sweetness at the beginning and with a really nice
acidity
nice
at the
finish.
End absolutely
yeah
cool.
So fun sipper, I think.
Definitely.
This one was
a good starter on Thanksgiving Day.
Yes. And speaking of Thanksgiving, we're doing at the tasting room today and tomorrow Thanksgiving sale on sort of our BOE staff picks.
Okay.
By the way, BOE is short for Brooklyn Enology. Yeah, so we're doing 10% off on kind of some of our staff picks, and Riesling is one of them.
Love that. And then we're moving into the red that you mentioned was the 06.
Red. Yeah, so this is 06 Social
first
Club
vintage
Red.
First vintage for you.
First vintage of Social Club Red, and this baby has really come into some good maturity right now. It's tasting fantastic. And I love this wine because it's super versatile.
What?
Got some in the glass here.
I like that you brought in 06 too, because, you know, I think that there isn't enough appreciation for wines from New York, which have a little age on them. There are some wines that can really sit down for a while.
They can. This one was kind of being a teenager for a little bit. You know, one day it was like, I feel happy and I taste good. And another day I was like, I don't feel like showing you much of my flavors. But now it's great.
It's in its true expression.
It's really showing
for you.
Showing its true expression. And, sometimes wines, they get, you know, moody. They don't want to
The minerality behave, on this is just like almost Bordeaux-esque.
Yeah, well, that's kind of a really common style for Long Island. Mm-hmm. We have very similar climate to Bordeaux on Long Island. Very marine, surrounded by water on all sides. Mm-hmm. And a very extended season as well. And we're just about on the same latitudes as Bordeaux.
Yeah.
I think many folks think of New York as way, 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 way far north, but actually, you know, a place like Oregon, Washington, where you're seeing a lot of great wines, they're much further north than New York is.
Yeah. So it wasn't any mistake that Cabernet Franc was experimented with, firstly, in Long Island, especially. Yeah.
So we're growing all the five noble Bordeaux varieties, Merlot, Cabernet Franc, Cabernet Sauvignon, Malbec, and Petit Verdot. Seeing a lot of Syrah now.
And what's this blend of?
This is a blend of all the five Bordeaux varieties.
Is it?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Plus a little Syrah, because, you know, why not?
I promise, I did not know that when I said
But, you know, that's kind of neat that we didn't even talk about that, and you picked up on that right away.
Well,
you know,
I guess I should stay
quality.
In this business.
Yeah, I'd say you're on the spot here, yep.
Oh, this is great.
Mm-hmm. I'll have a little. Cheers.
Cheers. Yeah. Thanks for bringing this.
Yeah. So it's primarily Merlot and Cabernet Franc, which are two grapes that are doing especially well on Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, keep your eye out for Syrah on Long Island. I really like it. It's very, get a really nice sort of finessed, racy style Syrah.
Yeah.
More in the
Not the plump,
earth tone.
Overripe.
Yeah, not that really super juicy, super jammy. Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes to just the right amount of ripeness and just the right amount of sugar, it's got this great sort of boysenberry and black pepper quality. Oh, it's so nice.
Nice.
Yeah, really, really peppery.
Are you going to be working with Syrah anytime soon?
I hope so. I hope more in the future.
Yeah.
Yep. And
maybe that will be wine number 10 to your book.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd love to do a solo Syrah. The first Motley Crue was primarily Syrah in that blend. And the next Motley Crue will be about 15% Syrah and the rest of the blend to be announced soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, given the how much you've accomplished in such a short period of time with this brand and your winery, what are some of the biggest challenges that you can maybe, or one of the biggest challenges that you've kind of learned through this experience?
Well, that it is definitely a 7-day a week job.
Yeah, I was going to say, when do you sleep?
Not much. Yeah.
Well, you don't look any worse for wear, so continue to do what you're doing. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, I'm going to keep growing. And, you know, for 4 years, you know, we were really the first winery to establish in New York City, and it's been a long road, and mm-hmm. you know, I've been selling through wholesale channels up until now, so now the tasting room is kind of phase two, and you know, I'm building this thing bit by bit. I've been doing a lot of the work myself, and
yeah,
and you know, started out as a one-woman show, and so now surrounded by a great staff over at the tasting room, and my man Josh, who's helping me out pounding the pavement doing wholesale sales. And so I'm growing this in pieces,
yeah,
you know,
yep,
and really building it. And so hopefully phase three is soon getting production going in Brooklyn as well, you know, because we're doing everything else here. So
absolutely.
Gotta get the whole family of things.
You got it.
In Brooklyn.
I know.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So similar to the urban rooftop
initiatives
that are going on.
Yeah.
And there are still grape vines existing in Vinegar Hill, which I've seen at the Vinegar Hill house before.
Probably,
so
I don't know what kind of grapes they are.
Maybe, I don't either.
Yeah.
Probably
be
table
cool
grapes.
If you get some Cabernet. I keep saying I want to take over Prospect Park and, you know, and make that all vineyards. Then we'll get some real grapes
so
growing
cool
in Brooklyn.
Yeah. Well, cheers so much for joining. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
For our listeners, if you could just point them again to your website and the tasting room, and hopefully you can go out support before Thanksgiving and pick up your chosen juice.
Get your Thanksgiving goodies. Yeah. Yep. So the tasting room is at 209 Wythe Avenue at North 3rd Street, and that's off the Bedford L stop. And it's just a quick 4-block walk from the train. And our phone number there is 718-599-1259. And you can email us there at taste@brooklynenology.com. And our website is www.brooklynenology.com. And enology is that good vocabulary word. And that's spelled O-E-N-O-L-O-G-Y. And you can also find us on Facebook, and you can follow us on Twitter, too. We've got two Twitter handles, at BKLYNEnology and at BOETastingRM, so for Tasting Room. Yeah.
Excellent. So plenty of ways to get in touch.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks again.
Thank you so much,
Erin. I hope to have you on again next time.
I can't wait.
And thank you to our sponsor, Cabot Cheese, and our producer, Jack Inslee, and engineer, Nat Wehner. Thanks so much for listening, and see you next week.
El antifaz que tu maldad.